Well, I appreciate you being here this morning. God bless us. Take our Bibles and turn to Nehemiah, if you will. Nehemiah. Nehemiah. It's First and Second Samuel, First and Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. I learned how to Nehemiah chapter 13, if you will. A lot of us have learned that we were learning our ABCs. You go up to the cabinet and looking for the file. Go to ABC, EFG, and everybody's going. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. You know. Anyway, Nehemiah. The old corny joke that says, you know the shortest man in the world, his name was Nehemiah. But that's not true because you had Bildad the shoe height. And so he was actually a little shorter than it. But anyway, I'm sorry. Nehemiah 13, chapter 15, verse 15. Chapter 13, verse 15, if you will. I am still on our topic, and I hope you will endure me one more week here. I want you to see something here, very practical, that we've been talking about. Nehemiah is written, let me put it in context here. I'm probably starting back too far, but the people of Israel went into Egypt. Joseph was sent there by his brothers, sold into the slavery. But God used it for good, and when the famine rose, all of his family went down there. They were kind of scared because they thought, Joseph has now risen to second in command in Egypt. He'll surely kill us. But he says, no, God meant it for good. You meant it for evil, but God's going to use it for good. And so he spares his people. But then there rose a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph after Joseph died, and there was a great host of people, and they got scared of him and said, well, I'll tell you what we do. We need to oppress them, keep them beat down, or they're going to overcome us. So they enslaved the people of Israel, Jacob, his people. Jacob and Israel, the same person, just so you know. So after 400 years, after the slavery, God sent Moses to draw them out. And so Moses brought them out. They went into the... They looked into the promised land. Of course, they got scared and all the giants, and he spent 40 years in the wilderness. Finally, we have Joshua who takes them into the promised land. They fight the final battles there. They set up the kingdom. Then you have the times of the judges, and every man did that which is right in his own eyes. And then they finally said, we need somebody to be our king. And they had rejected God, but they said, well, God's told Samuel, give him a king. So he gave him Saul, and he wasn't such a great king. And he was a big strapping guy, looked like he'd be a good guy, but God's looking on the heart. He's looking on the heart, and that's not necessarily the outside. So God chose a man of his own, a man after his own heart, a man by the name of David, actually a young boy at the time. And David spent quite a few years running away from Saul till he grew and God molded him into what he needed to be the great King David of Israel. His son came along. Solomon started out okay, but then toward the end of his life, he got looking at the ladies, and it made a big mess. And from there on out, they split the two, and they had the northern kingdom, the lower kingdom, and it just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And the fact is, people started just doing as they pleased. In fact, when they started the 10 tribes that went north, they started right out on the wrong foot. They went back and made a golden calf just like they did at Mount Sinai when they first came out of Egypt. Crazy thing. Why in the world would they do that? But they did. And in fact, the guy said, well, we don't want them to go down to Jerusalem. We want them to stick with us. So we'll make our own God. Stupid decision. Right there, we've talked about that a month or two ago. Don't make your own gods. It'll lead you into the wrong place. But they wanted a God they could lead around. So anyway, they got worse and it got worse and it got worse. Finally, the northern tribes were taken away. And they were scattered throughout by the people of Assyria. And that was supposed to be a warning to the lower two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, to get themselves straightened out. And they had a few good kings, but it just was getting worse and was getting worse. And finally, Jeremiah, Isaiah, said, listen, you better get straightened out or I'm going to have to send you to the woodshed. And they said, well, we'll be better. But it just didn't. They kind of talked about it. They talked good. They talked spiritual. But they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They turned away from God. And finally, God says, well, okay. All right. A fellow by the name of Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in, and he's going to take over. Don't fight him, because the fact is you're going to the woodshed. You ever, I don't know if you had any of your kids did this, but we didn't spank our kids a lot, but every once in a while we had to. And you're doing this, and they're running away from you, you know. And you're running away, they're trying to get them. And the fact is, you're not going to stop until they get a good whack in there a few times, you know. And so he said, no sense in fighting it, because you're going for 70 years. The fact is, go ahead and build houses down there. You're going down to Babylon, go ahead and build some houses. Plant some vineyards. You might as well accept the fact that you're going to the woodshed for 70 years. But after 70 years, I'm going to raise a man up, which isn't, by the way, isn't even born yet at this point when he says it, by the name of Cyrus, is going to tell you to go down and build the temple. And so they did. And by the way, he paid the bill. The king who had taken over after it was Nebuchadnezzar, and it was all these guys, you know, and so forth. But anyway, Cyrus came along and he actually paid the bill. But they didn't get everything finished, and they didn't build the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah was a fellow who was stuck in the captivity, and he was the king's cupbearer. He was very trusted by the heathen king. His brother, Nehemiah's brother, shows up to town, and they got to talking about how's things back in Jerusalem. He says, well, you know, the walls are all beat down. It's nothing. It's just a mess. It's just a mess. I mean, they're there, and they've got a temple, but it's just a mess. And Nehemiah just broke his heart. Just broke his heart. And one day he was in, you know, doing what he's supposed to do with the cupbearer, and the king said, hey, Nehemiah, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Now, come on. Because you weren't supposed to be, you know, sour in front of the king. And he says, no, you tell me what's going on. And I think because of his trustworthiness and his faithfulness to the king over the years, he told him, he says, it's all beat down. It's all beat down. He says, I tell you what, you get a bunch of guys, you go down there and fix that place up. I'll pay the bill. It's amazing what God can do. So they do, and there's some time goes back and forth, and Nehemiah goes back to Babylon after he does some work, and he's back there, and then he goes back to check on some things, and that's kind of where we are in chapter 13. Now, the reason they had gone into captivity because they didn't, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. That's what God told Joshua when they got ready to go in the promised land in the first place. He said, you got to get a hold of this book. You do what it says, and I'll prosper you. I'll bless you. You will be successful if you just follow this law. Well, that's why they didn't follow the law. So they weren't making any headway. They weren't having good success. In fact, they had failure and ended up in captivity because of it. Well, then God allows them to go back, reestablish the temple, get the walls up, put the gates on the wall, build some houses, and things are going fine. And Nehemiah shows up back in Jerusalem sometime later, and this is what he finds. Look at chapter 13. The first couple of verses, it says, on that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come in the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel. So they were saying they had somebody, I won't get into it all, but they had a fellow, Eliashib, was living in the back room of the temple, if you will, and he wasn't supposed to be. In fact, he was one of the heathen. They allowed the world into the temple. You get verse 7 and 10. It talked about the fact that the temple really wasn't being well kept. They weren't paying the bills. In fact, the Levites who were supposed to be taking care of the temple, they didn't pay them. So they had to go back home to their farms and make some money. They couldn't survive on nothing. And so they felt like they weren't paying them. So we get to chapter 13, verse 15. He starts seeing some things amongst the people. Look what it says. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and laden asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into the Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. That's a good old word, victuals. That means game. Means go hunt. I saw Leon here. You ought to see his back room. He's gotten victuals from all over the world. He's got them all stuffed up here. But really, it means to go out and get and find game to cut, to kill, and eat, to hunt. That's what it means to go out and get those. So they were selling their wares, you know, and selling their meats. Verse 16. And there dwelt men of Tyre. That's not Israel. That's the world. That's not God's people. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not your God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. He said, didn't this how we got in trouble in the first place? We didn't put God in the right place in our life. Isn't this how we ended up going to the woodshed for 70 years to Babylon? Isn't this why we've been through all this? Isn't this why we had to rebuild the whole city? This is why we had to put the walls back up. This is why we had to rebuild the temple. This is how we got in trouble in the first place. Are we going to start all over again, do this again? Verse 19. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I, Nehemiah, commanded that the gates should be shut, and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set eye at the gates, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them, and I said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. All right, please bear with me one more message before we move on. And I entitle this, Keeping the Sabbath. We talked about remembering the Sabbath. We talked about that the Sabbath is for us. But this morning we're talking about keeping the Sabbath. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I really hope that your Holy Spirit will help them understand the spirit of this law. That really what it was, what it is they want is you don't, you're not looking for us to keep a particular day, or you're looking for us to go through a bunch of fine-tuned and nitpicky laws as much as you want our heart, and that we have set aside a day to make sure that we've spent some time with you each week, to rest in you this each week, to remind us of what you've done and the completeness of all sufficiency of who you are. Lord, I pray that you'll help us understand these things. Lord, put it in my mouth, put it in our hearts, and Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to move in Christ's name. Amen. Quickly. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That's the Ten Commandments. That's what it was talking about when it talked about. There are some other laws there, but that's what it was talking about. We're supposed to meditate therein day and night, so we observe to do according to all that's written therein. Don't slide past that. We're supposed to know it so that we can do it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There's no place in the Bible that says we're going to be prosperous and have good success in another way. The book of Psalms says, bless the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, Psalm 1:1, nor stand the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. He shall bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. You won't be drooping around all the time. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That word prosper is not used much in the Bible. Right there, it has to do with the word of God to do it. To do it. Now, We're not winning God's favor. We're giving a, we're creating a relationship with Him. We're not getting stars on a chart that's going to save us from something. We're not getting checks. Okay, all right, he did this and he did that. All right, we'll let him do this. It's not perfunctory. What he wants is your heart. But if you don't give him chance to get to have your heart, he's never going to get your heart. Now we found, he says, the book of the law. The law means we're supposed to know God, have no other gods before him. We're supposed to not invent our own gods and bow down to them. We're supposed to respect him. Even his name, never mention it in vain. And then it says that we need to remember to rest in God. He says, remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath. It says here, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and to do thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in within thy gates. Why? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord rested the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He said he made it special. He set it aside. Why? Because God is our all sufficiency. When he created the heavens and the earth, it was all done. He rested, not because he was tired, but because he was done. Just like Jesus, when he came, he died once for all. All of our sins were nailed to the cross. They were laid on him, the iniquity of us all. And when he died, he said, "It is finished." The blood was applied, and he ascended to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. He's our high priest. He sat down because it's all done. Rest in him. You know what? Some of us are so, we're just afraid to rest in him. Just afraid to let him have control because, well, we got to do this, we got to do this. Have we forgotten who he is? And I believe that we have. The Sabbath is still for us to keep. But I believe the Sabbath is made for us. He said, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. We're supposed to remember it. We're supposed to mark it down. You know why we've got to mark it down? Because we'll forget. We'll just forget. I've been carrying a date book since I was 12 years old. I know I'm outdated. I should be doing it all digital and that kind of stuff. I'm just afraid of dropping it out in the water or someplace and I have nothing. But at least I'll try to peel the papers apart. But anyway, I'm still an old dad, but I've marked things down. Because I don't want to forget. Because if I don't mark it down, I'll forget. Same thing goes with our walk with God. We don't mark it down. Chances are we're going to forget. We're going to forget. We got to mark. We're supposed to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. What's that mean? It's set apart. It is. We're not supposed to give up here. We're not supposed to give up there. We got to make sure it's right where we need to do. And then we need to practice. Practice. Trust in the provision. That word Sabbath day means intermission. Take an intermission. I know some of you like to take an intermission in the middle of my messages and stand up for a while. I understand. Listen, God's given you an intermission once a week. Take it. Take it. And he showed us about the manna, how he provides. And sometimes, you know, he changes the rules as it goes along. Sometimes we weren't supposed to gather too much because if you have it left over, it's going to stink. But oh, wait a minute. The last day of the week, the next to the last day of the week, you were supposed to gather up twice so you had it for the next day. So you didn't have to work. So, well, that's just weird. Just take it. I have found that God provides. God takes care. If I take care of his business, he takes care of my business. I have found that all the way through my life. If I do what he tells me to do, he takes care of my business. Then we learned that the Sabbath is for us. The Sabbath was made for man, and we learned that there's a spirit of the law. What he wants is our heart. Now, let me, I'm not going to spend any more time on that because we need to move on. The Bible says we're not to forget the Sabbath. We are to keep the day holy. We're supposed to keep the Sabbath. It's easy to forget the Sabbath. And the fact is, so we need to mark it down. Why? To claim the guarantee of making our way prosperous and having good success, we must remember to keep the Sabbath. We've got to set some time in our schedule for Him. We do. Now, the fact is, people say, well, Sunday's the only day we have off. You know why you have off? Because there was a day when everybody shut down and observed a day for the Lord. That's why we have it. Now, I understand. In fact, watch this. If I get sick, I want a Christian nurse. If I'm having a problem on Sunday and I need to call the police, I'd love to have a Christian policeman show up. And I know there's some things, even Jesus said, well, if your ox falls in a pit on the Sabbath, you're going to leave him lay there and die? Of course not. You're going to help him. But that's work. Oh, come on, get the spirit of the law here. It's not nitpicking here. You couldn't trim your toenails on Sunday, on the Sabbath, back then. The Pharisees would give you a hard time. They saw you combing your hair. So I guess that's why they wore hats, the synagogue, I guess. I don't know. But you weren't supposed to hardly do anything. And they nitpicked. That's not the point. The point is, set some time aside for the Lord. Realize that He's your all-sufficiency. That's why we celebrate it on Sunday, the resurrection day, our all-sufficiency. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. He's our all-sufficiency. He rose again, proving all our sins are paid for. Now, the fact is, as soon as you decide to set that day aside for the Lord, the old devil's going to come along, and he's going to do everything he can. I swear, so listen, we start having kids, you might as well, you start having kids. I think Satan sends out all his imps to pinch all the babies on Sunday morning so they cry, so everybody, well, they're not feeling well, they better stay home. I swear, it's like that. Car's going to have problems. It's going to do something. But I'll guarantee you, when you were dating that sweetheart you're sitting next to, it didn't matter what the weather was like, you were to go see him if it was time to go see him. You have a flat tire, you're going to go fix that tire. You're going to get it done. You're going to rush home and change if you can. Get back so you can get back on top, back to him, because you have an appointment with somebody you love. That's what the Sabbath's about. So, well, I can't afford it. You can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. This is part of that keeping all the law. It's not about the law gets us to heaven. He said, I wrote these things for your sake. Let's move. Look at Nehemiah 13, 15. It says, in those days, 13, 15, I saw lie in Judah some treading wine presses. So you had some folks, you know, treading the wine presses. They're doing their little dance on the grapes there. On the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves. They're out in the field gathering up the wheat. And laden out asses. In other words, they got stuff. Look at it this way. They're loading up the truck for the next day. They got an appointment tomorrow. They're heading something out. So they're loading up the animals. They're loading up the trucks. They got work to do. As also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. In other words, that Sabbath day of rest had become just like every other day. That's what it's saying. It says, and I testified against them the day wherein they sold victuals. Again, that means the chase, the catch, the hunt. Necessary nourishment. I said, I told him a thing or two. I said, well, wait a minute here. You know what happened? Number one, they forgot to remember the Sabbath. They just kind of forgot to remember it. They forgot to mark it down. They forgot to make it special and holy. They didn't keep it. That word keep means to guard it, to pay special attention to it. Do you realize in these days, young parents can be thrown into jail just because they weren't watching their kid at the right time, you know, and the kid gets hurt, they get thrown in jail for child neglect just because they didn't keep an eye on the kids. Now, I think some of the kids just get, I mean, I think there's a balance on there, all that. You know, kids need to play, and they need to skin their knees a few times, and, you know, that's part of life, I understand. Her dad used to say, every kid has to eat a peck of dirt before he dies. You know, I mean, some things are just about being a kid. But there are some things you do need to mark down. You need to make sure they're not playing in the middle of the street. You got to make sure they got this, they got that. You mark it down. The same thing goes with our time with our Lord. We need to mark, we got to guard it. Guard our time with Him. Pay special attention to it. They got so caught up in life that they forgot the Sabbath, which means they forgot their relationship with the Lord. I'll guarantee you, when you were dating and you were supposed to meet them, and they said, "Oh, well, I forgot." What do you mean you forgot? Is that all I'm worth to you? You've forgotten about me already? I thought you loved me. How could you forget me? And yet we have no problem doing that to God. We just forgot. Sometimes we forgot but just didn't bother. Now you want to make your girl mad. Well, I didn't. I remember we were supposed to, but I decided this is what I needed to do instead. Wow. Wait for the lightning to strike. I mean, it's going to be bad. You know what they did? They forgot. Watch. They forgot. Isn't it a good thing? When I was dating Janet, I just liked to be near her. We really didn't have to do anything special. I just liked to be with her. In the same room, talking, chatting, doing something together. It was a good time. And you know what they forgot? They got so caught up in life that they forgot to rest in the Lord. The book of the law slipped out of their mouths and they weren't talking about it all the time. They stopped meditating on the law all day and night, and so they forgot to do according to all that was written therein, and they cannot expect their way to be prosperous, nor can they expect good success. They went on their daily routine of life. What the people were doing, now watch me, did you read anything there that was bad? There was not one thing that they were doing was a bad thing. It was not bad. What they were doing was misplaced and off the priority schedule. That's all. He says 6 days, work. Work hard. Man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Work hard. But then rest hard. Take the rest. All these things would have been perfectly acceptable on any other day at any other time of the week. Just not on the Sabbath, when they are to be reminding themselves of God's provision, concentrating on their relationship with the Lord, their God. The daily routine of life can quickly become cluttered and busy. Something happens and there's just not enough time for the chores. There never seems to be enough hours in the day, enough days in the week. It's easy to see a wasted day on the Sabbath. And we think, watch me, we think we're being frugal and prudent and making good use of this wasted time. And I think sometimes we think that we're helping God out and that He should be proud of us for working hard, but we have forgotten that we are to work hard at resting when the Sabbath comes. He wants some time. You know, a young wife and mother, she's glad that she's got a husband that works hard and takes good care of her family and so forth. But the fact is, she didn't just marry somebody who's going to pay the bills. She married somebody she loves, wants to spend time with. There has to be some time together. God's proud of us when we do what we're supposed to do, work hard and represent Him well. But the fact is, what He really wants is our heart. Time allotted for God is not wasted time. This time is the most important time if you want to claim God's guaranteed formula for success. They forgot the Sabbath. The first thing we need to do is we need to remember the Sabbath. Not like some distant tradition we used to do, but remember it for this week and for the next week and the week coming up after that to rest. Now, it's not just the day. It's the resting every day in Him. Number two, if we want to keep the Sabbath, we've got to remember to do it, first of all. Number two, beware not to get caught up in the worldly routine. Beware not to get caught up in the worldly routine. The world is going to draw you into their ways. Look at verse 16. He said he walked out first, and he saw all these people. They're out in the field. They're working on the grapes. They're loading up the trucks. They're getting ready to make a load. And then he said, he said, there was these people. Look at verse 16. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and Jerusalem. Well, these guys from the outside have come in and set up shop. Now, at first I was going to say that the world is going to tempt us, and that may be true. More likely, we're going to get busy, and seeing the rest of the world going about business as normal on the Sabbath day will probably just cause us to forget it as well. Not so much that we're tempted, as much as we just get caught up with what everybody else is doing. There's 440,000 people in York County, thereabouts. There may be, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's say there's 100,000 people sitting in church right now. I don't think that's the truth. But let's say there is. That means there's 340,000 not. That means there's three times as many folks living this day like it's every other day than the folks who actually have this as a special day. Now, we live in the world 6 days a week, physically. Hopefully our heart's not there. And we're here one day a week. We have some folks, and I need it, the Wednesday night booster shot. You know, I need a Wednesday night booster shot at 7 o'clock in here, getting here in church. But we get caught up in what the rest of the world is doing. And it seems like that's normal, and we're abnormal. But frankly, it's the other way around, according to God's word. Everyone else in the world is doing it. What's the big deal? I'll tell you what the big deal is. We're God's people, and God's our God. That's the big deal. When we see the rest of the world living life around us, we start to wonder if we are being excessive, fanatical. I mean, the world seems to be doing fine. Well, first of all, who says the world's doing fine? They can put on a good show, too. You don't know what's going on back home. You don't know all the bruises that she's covering up with her long sleeves and her high collars or whatever. You don't know what all's going on at home. Just because they drive a big car doesn't mean they own much of it. Just because it looks like they're doing well, they may be in debt up to their ears or higher. The problem was they got caught up in the worldly routine. These people are out here buying and selling. So first of all, we need to remember the Sabbath. Two, we got to beware not to get caught up in the worldly routine. Number three, beware not to allow the Sabbath to slip away. So what's that mean? Well, We don't usually stop observing the Sabbath all at once. Verse 17, look what it says here. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do and profane the Sabbath day? Now that word profane means to bore a hole, to shoot it full of holes, to dissolve it, to break one's word about it. Profaning the Sabbath means to bore a hole in it. We don't have to totally disintegrate the Sabbath to profane it. The first little hole we allow to be put into our observance of the Sabbath is profaning the Sabbath. We're just saying it's just not that important. That's like me saying that me walking into a room and just about time to see somebody slap my wife. Well, she only did it once. It's okay, I only did it once. Now you don't slap my wife! Come on. You fight her, you're fighting me. You know? You don't slap my wife. That's profaning her, so to speak. I say she's nothing. Doesn't matter. Well, they only did it once. But it shows their respect or lack thereof. Same thing for us when we profane the Sabbath. We do it little by little. A little here, a little there. A Sunday here, then a Sunday there. We omit the evening service, then Sunday school, and then the morning. And then we feel like we're doing okay because we get to the Lord's house a couple times a month. And then we make excuses for why it's more important to do this or that with the family or work overtime to pay a few extra bills. And we're making the Sabbath out to be an optional good thing that impresses God if we do it, but no big deal if we don't. Number four. You beware not to get caught up in the worldly routine. Beware not to let it slip away. Number four. Learn from the past mistakes and don't repeat them. They may be your mistakes. They may be somebody else's mistakes. It could be this nation's mistakes. He's saying, haven't we learned anything through all we've been through? Look at verse 18. Did not your fathers thus? In other words, didn't your fathers do the same thing? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us, upon this city? Yet we bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. We're letting it slip away, and we're going right back to where we were. I want to read a few passages real quick here. Just hang tight. Exodus 31, verse 13, says this. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. In other words, God set them apart, and you keep the Sabbath. And one of the things about keeping the Sabbath is to show whose side you're on. To show who you believe got you this far. Parents, every time we set aside the time with the Lord, we know what we're telling our kids. It's just not that important. It's okay. God will be there when we get there, just like the spare tire in the back. And sometimes we get ready to use a spare tire, and it's been so long since we've been there, the tire's out of air. There's nothing there to support what we need. He says, we're telling the world whose side we're on. Every time you drive out of your driveway, somebody, probably your neighbors, looking out the window and say, well, there they go again. Those people there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, I think it's all they do is go to church. As they turn on the NFL station again one more time to watch the 50th ball game this week. Not against football. But there's a time for that and a time for the Lord. God has set us apart in a special way. Can't we set Him apart in a special way? Verse 14 says, ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy unto you. He said, hedge about it, guard it. Don't allow anything to stop you from preserving it, protecting it, and observing it. It is for God's people. It's not for the world. Why do we expect the world to go to church? It's not for them. It's for God's people. Are we God's people? Then we ought to be doing what God wants us to do. Why are we surprised when the world doesn't keep it? In fact, we are supposed to be peculiar. That's why it has an effect, an effective testimony attached to it, because we are doing something different. And he says, everyone that defileth, the same word as profane, to chip away at it, to bore a hole in it, everyone that defileth shall surely be put to death, separated from the life of God. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. In other words, if you want to live like the world, God will treat you like the rest of the world. The world doesn't have a guaranteed success promise to them. But if that's what you want, have at it. That's what he's saying. He says, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation for a perpetual covenant. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Now, he said, we're not Israel. I know, but you're still God's people. Many of us are not sure we know God and that God cares for us. Because I'll tell you why. Because we have not seen God work in our lives very much. Keeping the Sabbath is one way we can consistently see God interacting, providing our lives on a weekly basis. Listen, when we had time, we didn't know where our next meal was coming from. We tithed and we went to church. Why do? Because I was scared not to. You're superstitious? No. I fear God. And you know he provided everything, paid all the bills, took care of our kids. My kids are just kids, just people like the rest of you, and they can fail, and I can fail, anybody can fail. But I believe one of the reasons they're still in church and serving is because there was times I'm sure they felt drugged. Drugged to the first service and drugged to the second service and drugged to Sunday school and drugged to, you know what I mean? But you live it on life, you live it at home, you live it here. It's important. If we had said, well, you know, well, I don't think it's really all that big a deal, they would say, well, it's no big deal then at all, is it? If we take care of God's business, God will take care of our business. Jeremiah 17 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers, but they obeyed not. Jeremiah 17:23. Neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if he diligently hearken to me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of the city the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein. You go back and it's over and over and over again. Ezekiel. Well, I'm going to go back here. Jeremiah 17:27. But if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. What's he saying? One of the main reasons they ended up in captivity was because they took God and threw him out. We complain about them throwing prayer and Bible study out of the school, but we threw them out of our seventh day. In fact, it's supposed to be the first day. That's why it ended up getting thrown out of public school, because we threw him out earlier than that. Ezekiel 20:19 says, I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. This is a prophet before they went into captivity. He says, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. You want to see God work? Put him first. So I did 2 weeks in a row. And he also knew the third week you weren't going to bother. You know what he said in his heart? They're just trying to impress me with their actions, but their heart's not with me. This is it. Now, I understand some people have work and you have people and you can't do anything about it. But if you can do something about it, you ought to do something about it. Number five, keep the Sabbath and close the door on the world. Here's some hard choices you need to make. Keep the Sabbath, close the door on the world. We just have to take the proper steps and measures to make sure we keep the Sabbath. Nehemiah, go back to Nehemiah 13, 19. It says, and it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, these people were out there waiting, trying to sell their goods. I commanded the gates should be shut, charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. You know what he said? We're just going to make a decision. We're not going to do it. Close the door. We're done. Business is over. Sometimes you just got to say, business is over. This day, this time, is the Lord's. Here's how to keep the Sabbath. Ready? Just do it. Some of us have already set the day for the Super Bowl. And nothing's going to move them. March Madness comes. Everything's put aside. You don't mess with me at March Madness. Hang on. We're going to close all the schools because it's first day of hunting season. I'm not against those things. But don't let God be any less. Let Him be a little more. He gets a day every week. Close the door in the world and open your hearts to God. Nehemiah said, close the door. We're done. Bye. Boom. The door goes shut. We need to make a decision just like deciding to go to work. We must control our bodies and not allow our bodies to control us. We do what we want to do. And don't tell me that you can't. That's a cop out. Number six, I don't know if it's getting long here, we're almost done. I told you this last one, so let me finish and we'll be done. The Sabbath must become part of our normal practice, the normal habit. I've told you the story, oh, it's been, man, 15, 20 years ago, 20 years ago probably. I had my appendix out. Hannah, well, you're 24. Well, you were about 4 or 5, somewhere in there, I guess. What, she was 3? Okay, she was 3. And I had my appendix out, and I'd laid in the hospital for a week because the fever kept coming back, afraid I had infection. And I was pretty sore. They had to ease it out, and they had to slice me pretty bad. And I'd just gotten home, and it was Wednesday night. Not even Sunday, Wednesday night. And I'm laying on the sofa. And Hannah, here she is, she's 3 years old. Time to go to church, Daddy. And I said, well, I'm not going to go. You're not going to go. And she said, well, Daddy's not feeling well. You're just going to lay there? We had made it a habit. I brush my teeth every morning. Aren't you glad? I take a shower every morning. Aren't you glad? I take my hair that goes and I glue it all down every morning so I don't look like what was that guy at Don King? Remember Don King? You know, that's the old boxing promoter. We didn't make it a habit. Look at verse 20. So the merchants and the sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. In other words, he closed the door, but they came back next week. And they sat out there. Well, when are they going to open that door there? We're going to open that door. And they came back the next week. They did it once or twice. They did it a few times thinking we will do as we have been doing, and now they will stop if we stop. What? Listen, if we give in and break the Sabbath from time to time, we will tell them to keep trying us, and it will be trying. They'll keep trying us, and we're going to wear on us. If we give, as soon as you give in once, they're going to say, well, you'll give in again. It's really not that important. And we also lose our testimony being set aside for the Lord. We also cannot claim the promise of success he wants to give us. Look at verse 21. Then I testified against them and I said to them, why lodge you about the wall? Don't bother coming over here. We're not doing this. We're not opening the door. Don't bother. If you do so again, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the right hand of fellowship. Now, I'm not saying we need to do that, but I'll tell you what we need to do. You're saying, we got to get serious about this. To put him first. From that time forth, they came no more in the Sabbath. Well, we're not doing that anymore. We fixed that. We may need to make some tough decisions. We may need to take a stand nicely, as much as we can, live peaceably with all men, as much as we can, all much within us. But we need to take a stand. We don't have to be offensive, but you know what? We go to church. I remember times when our family would get together on Easter. And we get there in the middle of the day, we have church, we come back, we were late getting there because everybody else got out early and our church wasn't done. And then we would leave and say, oh, make your preacher makes you go back to church on Sunday night, on Easter. I said, no, he doesn't make us go back to church on Sunday night. Why are you going? We want to. We want to. By the way, you go back and read it. The people who didn't show up at church on Sunday night on the first Easter missed seeing Jesus. He showed up and they weren't there. If we're consistent, others will finally get the picture. And they do. We cannot expect the rest of the world to understand this, especially if we're not consistent and tend to waver from now and then. Giving in once in a while is not going to make things better. It's going to make things worse. And the rest of the world needs to know that we are not giving in or giving out or giving up on this. And I'm sure there's a much back talking, complaining. They probably joke about you. And they were brunt of the jokes. They were mocked. They said we're stupid, missing out on the opportunity, just making their own lives difficult for no good reason. But we are a peculiar people. There's a testimony of God here. If it's not unusual, wouldn't be a peculiar testimony. You've got to do right. I don't have time to get all this, but I'll have to God stop. Number 7, prepare for the Sabbath day ahead of time. So I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. What I'm saying, instead of conducting business like any other day, we should be getting ourselves ready to meet with God. We might need to do a little work ahead of time. You prepare for Christmas. You bake cookies. You make decorations. You make parties. You buy gifts. You wrap presents. And most of this is for something or someone other than our Savior. We get the kids ready for school weeks ahead, but we can't get to bed early so we can be on time. I'm not being mean here. I'm just saying, folks, I want you to be successful. I want God's hand of blessing on you. But if we don't take it seriously, it won't happen. And even after all the warnings, even after the captivity, the Jews slipped right back into the old worldly ways. They didn't remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Here's what we need to do. Decide that you're going to do it. And do your very best to keep the Sabbath. I know things come in, car breaks down, tire blows, and you've done everything you can to get here and you just can't get here. I've seen that. Okay, what do you do? Understand that your God shall supply all your needs. It comes to the Sabbath day. You can rest on Him, work on the Sabbath. Be fully persuaded in your own heart as to what you ought to be doing and then do it. When applying for a job, do your best to negotiate your Sundays off. Prepare to be with God's people in God's house at the appointed time. You might need to cancel some important. There may be something you just can't do. You may have to start early in the week to get ready. You got a bunch of kids, you might start laying stuff, working toward this way early. Expect opposition and determine ahead of time that you're going to resist the devil by being steadfast in the faith. Expect your friends, your family to invite you and even require you to be at certain events and accuse you of not caring about them if you disappoint them by not joining them. Expect it. Expect it. Do you care about disappointing your Savior? Well, I saw him this morning. I saw Janet this morning. I don't even see her again tonight. Expect issues to rise to hinder your participation in the gathering of God's people. Determine ahead of time that you will not allow it to stop you if at all possible. Literally impossible. You may be doing all that you can. The tire goes flat, child gets sick, 3 feet of snow, just can't make it. Okay. But staying home because you stayed up late on Saturday to watch the game, or you just had to finish that puzzle, or you had to wrap a few gifts, you had to pack for a trip to grandma's house, then you forgot to keep the Sabbath holy. I know that I'm being mean here, but listen. The Sabbath, the point is the resting of God. It's the trust in God. It's a living in the peace of God. It's relying on the provision of God. It's putting a relationship with God first, and above all other perceived needs and wants. It's a sign and a mark of a person of faith. To not keep the Sabbath is really to reveal our lack of devotion to our God. It's not to trust God to provide our needs. It's to seek peace in the world and what it offers. It's to rely on our own strength for provision. It's to seek prosperity and success in our own strength. In a world that keeps us busy and distracts us from God, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy and set apart. Don't allow the Sabbath and the Lord with it to get lost in the shuffle of life. We're done. Father, I know we're very late here this morning. And I know some folks probably are already mad at me and said, I'm not coming back. But Lord, I want them to see success. Oh, I want them to see success. And these little things, when we just go about our life, maybe the little things that were, it was enough to send your people into captivity. Well, you don't like it any more now than you did before. We need to take some time for you, and you told us when to do it. We just need to do it. Lord, speak to each of our hearts. I want our folks to rise up in the arms of faith and see your hand of blessing in a great way. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. She's going to play the piano. Song of invitation. The Lord's spoken to your heart about some things here this morning. Maybe